Hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast,
I'm getting ready to do an Insta Live with one of my favorite colleagues out there, Dr. Steven Weiner, all the way from Florida. So I hope you guys are doing good and maybe some of you are back to injecting. Not yet here, but pretty soon. So we're really excited to break quarantine and come out, but I wanted to talk more. Hope you guys aren't sick of this topic, but I want to talk more about what things we should be doing to protect ourselves, our patients, our communities, to make sure we're injecting appropriately. Hello.
Hi, Kay.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, such a pleasure to have you. One of my favorite colleagues from Aesthetic Clinique all the way in Florida. And you guys have started injecting already, right?
Yep.
How many days have you been at it?
We started last Monday.
So we haven't started yet in Los Angeles. And all of us out there are asking for your brilliant advice. For those of you who don't know, Steve has come up with some really innovative ideas, including using ultraviolet C lights to sterilize the entire room, and the idea of a mouth filter to help with skin mouth injections and lower face, and probably a bunch of other things too. So tell me what you've been doing, and how's the first week?
So we did it very slowly because there's a lot of new protocols. And so prior to the patient arriving, we do a lot of phoning with them, make sure that they sign consent forms. We have a COVID consent form. I'm sure you've heard about those. And we tell people that expect to wear a mask when you come in. And if you don't have an N95 mask, one, you'll have to purchase one here.
Right.
We're using the TheraMask. So I think that there's a lot of good data behind those.
Okay.
And we're trying to do all the consultations by virtual, so that the time they spend in the office is minimized. So when we're ready for them, the room is absolutely ready. We bring them into the room.
Okay.
They're wearing a mask. I wear a mask and a shield as well. One of these.
Oh, cool. Wait, put it on so we can see.
Okay. let me put it on. I'll show you everything. So I put this on.
You wear yours. I'll wear mine.
Oh, okay.
That's what I like mine. It has goggles built in. And it flips up and down. That one's kind of cool. But so, I like yours too because it's lightweight.
Right. They're kind of hard to get. So
kind of hard to talk. I don't know how we're going to shoot videos anymore because we all sound all mumbly.
But, I agree. You have to talk a little louder when you're wearing that.
Yeah.
And so we actually take pictures. If we need to take pictures of the whole face, that means that they have to take off their mask. So we actually try to do it outside. Not everyone has that luxury, but we're on the ground floor and the parking lot's right in front of us. So if they're just doing toxins, we can take those movements inside the room.
Okay.
No one in waiting rooms, no literature to touch or whatever. They all get a little Purell before they come in on their hands. I know some people are wearing foot booties and some are spraying them with Lysol. The foot booties are in back order, but we'll probably do that when we get them. Another good thing are these pre-drawn up syringes. They're not pre-drawn up, but this board helps you so that you draw up your syringes for your toxins based on their last injection. And you put them on this board so you don't have to spend the time and possible contamination of the vials. So you walk into the room with something like this and you can
That's a good point that we shouldn't bring in stock bottles into the room. We should leave those in a clean area and just bring in what we're going to use.
Right.
Yeah. Who makes those boards? Is that Lori Roberts or?
It's Aesthetic Practice Solutions.
Oh, okay.
They sell it. And I like it too because it also speeds up the encounter because I have my PA draw it up and, I said, same like last time, you liked it? Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, you could talk a little bit, but you don't have to spend all the time drawing it up. So I like that idea.
Yeah. And then are you prepping the face with anything special? Are you going to do, like, I'm personally going to do a betadine prep, I think. And alcohol, of course, kills coronavirus. So that's excellent to use 70% alcohol.
I'm not changing my prep because I was pretty good before. I use, if I'm doing fillers, almost always I'm cleaning it with the alcohol, and then I'm using HIPAA cleanse. Some people are using hypochlorous acid. I think if you use that, you just have to use it very liberally, not just little sprays. I think very liberally it does work. So if they're doing an injection that I need to take off their mask, I'm using, I got it over here. I'll pull it out. I'm using my.
Many of us have started with the idea of just upper face Botox while wearing a mask, and I think that's probably a super safe idea. And
Yes.
if you're going to do cheeks, it's definitely possible to pull your mask down and still shield and do a cheek, and you can probably do a jawline, but it's going to be challenging to get right in the nasolabials and the marionettes. So,
I came up with this. So the story behind this was that I kind of developed a prototype with another company, and after all was said and done, it's going to be about $5 to the provider. And so then I started looking on the internet, and I found pulmonary function test filters that were essentially identical to what I was going to do anyways. And they actually filter out 99.99% of viruses, so really, really good, down to like 0.027, and COVID 0.1. So, and it's very easy to breathe through. It looks like a snorkel on one end. You can get two types. You can get them with this,
So
or
that's a mouthpiece that's disposable, and then is the entire unit disposable?
right. So you can get
Okay.
them without the mouthpiece or with. This is going to cost you about 60 cents more. The total package is approximately $350, about 250. You got to get them in 100. I'm not selling them. Like A/M Systems with an S.com sells them. And then you put it in your mouth.
So are
And
you able to do a lip injection like that? That looks a little
no.
challenging.
No, you
No.
can't.
No, just
Okay,
marionettes and nasolabial folds.
and there's a nose clip that you put on as well, like this.
I think some women are going to pass out when they see that. They're going to be like, "What is going on?
So
How,
here.
well, what has been the response from your patients?"
In general, it's pretty good. So the lips have been challenging, and I'm not injecting lips now. So I was trying to devise something where we can filter the nose only. And I got these filters that are like little like band-aids that are round, but they have a filter in them that you put on your nostrils. They're not made for that, but they say they are about 82%. I looked at them, and but I wasn't impressed. So I'm not recommending it, but I'll show you what they look like. They're here.
Some people are asking some good questions. So someone asked, is it good to do filler if you have to wear a mask that may touch your surface of your skin and have some possible contamination on it? So that's an interesting question. Should we still be doing it?
I think it's okay.
I
Okay.
think so too.
One thing is that HIPAA cleanse does give actually a prolonged sterilization for up to 20 hours or so. So that's one benefit of HIPAA cleanse versus the others. I think it's okay.
I'm also applying a little topical antibiotic ointment right after because that's just a thin barrier film and that's enough. Your skin heals very fast, really,
So those
actually. It
holes heal up
closes.
extremely quickly. So two things. So what can we do for the lips? So like I said, I tried these things. Okay, they don't really stay on very well. I don't think that they filter very much. So I'm not recommending that. There is something coming out, or that the dentists are using, and it's a really high flow vacuum. It's like a little half dome. You don't have to put it directly on their face. You can keep it around 4 to 6 inches. I don't know the exact distance, but enough to work around. And it will draw all the air that's exhaled into this system. The system has all these filters in it that go down to 0.1 as mm-hmm. well. And some of them even have UV light in them as well. So they're all back ordered. They're called like HVAC or something used by dentists. And so okay. I think that that's a good idea. Here's another idea that someone told me too, is that if they're going to do something in the, around the mouth without the mask, have them gargle with, I think Allergan likes that too. Gargle with either Providone or hydrogen peroxide. And that's going to kill anything inside the mouth. Now, it's not perfect because you're breathing, but that's what some dentists are recommending as well. So
I'm doing that too. So as a head and neck surgeon, our head and neck surgery societies have official recommendations for that, where I recommend that we swab the inside of the nostrils with a betadine swab. That's easy. They come as swab sticks. And you can hand that to the patient to do when you're not in their face. Like, they can do it themselves. They can also apply it on their lips externally and do a dilute gargle, which is one part betadine to four parts of either sterile water or regular water. Regular water is fine, I would think. But the gargling, like, the betadine is virucidal, very effective. Also, dilute peroxide is the same. So one part to four parts. And technically, I guess Listerine has alcohol. Maybe that's an option. I think it'd be great if they could gargle at home with Listerine and then come in and do another gargle with some betadine. Maybe we add mint flavor or something. But that's recommended for sure.
Some of the Listerine I know doesn't contain alcohol, so I don't know how good it is. They actually say non-alcohol, so I don't know. The betadine, as far as the prep goes, I know that you said that, it just stains. And it's
messy, yeah. Once you stain a few things, you get used to being very careful with it, and then you'll paint the whole face with the betadine gauze. You can clean the whole face with the sterile water gauze to take away some of the yellow, or you can, chlorhexidine technically is not as good. So I think alcohol is also great. Like, it's definitely kills virus. So we always have that good old standby of alcohol. But for the mouth internally, I think betadine is the way to go, personally.
Yeah.
And for injection rhino, I'm going to use the swabs for the nose. People are asking, should we worry about filler or long-term side effects? Like, the only reason to worry would be if we saw a patient who was in that 14-day asymptomatic period, where they were viral carriers, and they may contaminate us, and they may affect their own filler. But as far as we know, this virus does not cause a viremia where it's in the bloodstream. It really is intramucosal. So that's why there's such a high level in the nasal pharynx, the nasal passages, the oropharynx, and the respiratory tract. So that's really, it's a respiratory origin virus. And as far as I know, it doesn't go into the bloodstream where it would affect filler. What do you think?
It's kind of a hot topic. I'm getting a lot of DMs about it from other providers. And here's what I say. I say, look, there's millions of people with filler in their face right now. And there's millions of people who got COVID. And I haven't heard, I would have probably heard about it if someone had a nodularity related to it. So I'm injecting, no problem. I think it's a theoretic concern. Allergan mm-hmm. came out with a statement that 20 of their KOLs thought that it was okay as well. So I think it's fine.
That said, I'm still having our patients sign a COVID consent that says that this is a new disease. We're uncertain of the long-term effects.
Yes.
And you understand and accept the consequences as a grown adult. You make your own decisions, basically. And that's I pinned that to the bottom if you guys want to click and feel free to utilize the components of that for your own clinics. I think we'll be okay. I mean, that's going to be such a rare instance of a person coming in with an active hidden infection that later manifests. Are you worried about malpractice issues at all, that people coming in might leave here and 2 weeks later come down with COVID from the grocery store, but blame it on you because the timing? Or is there any worry about malpractice?
There is a risk of that. I mean, everyone's been hit financially as well as lawyers. And this seems that might be something that they jump on. But I'm making my environment so tight with safety that it would be very hard to point the finger at me.
Yeah.
To your point, so once I'm all done with the injections, we close the room off, we turn on UV light, UVC,
Yeah.
and we turn it on anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes, depending on the size of the room and so forth. And you could smell that ozone. So the ozone kills stuff, the UVC kills stuff really quick. We put UV in all the ducts, so, 'cause there's actually reports, not necessarily COVID, but of other viruses going through the ducts. And so like that's why it's very difficult in airplanes to isolate a person, even if they say it goes throughout the entire plane. And
Yeah.
so currently I'm it's hard for me, but I'm not I need to figure out what's happening with airplanes. So I'm not seeing out of town patients that are flying in right now. I'm saying give it 2 to 3 months. I want to see, is there going to be an outbreak on a plane? Are they going to up their game? But
Yeah.
they're hurting.
They're hurting.
I
Well,
don't think.
that's their fault. They never cleaned those tray tables to begin with. Like, God knows if they'll clean them now. I don't trust them yet. But sorry, airlines, but I carry my own wipes for when I fly. But some people are asking the ratio of the mix, one part betadine or one part peroxide to four parts water. And other people ask, do we throw away the gauzes in regular trash if they're just mildly soaked, like we normally do with any bloodstained gauze, or do we put them in a red sharps container? I'm going to just throw them in regular trash, just like HIV patients, hepatitis patients, and all the other lovely viruses out there. I think that's fine, right? And the virus is going to live for up to 72 hours on cloth and fibers. So I guess if you really wanted to be awesome, you could squirt some disinfecting Kavicide on your trash can at the end of the day, just to be extra careful. And then.
What I'm doing too is you gotta consider the mask as potentially being contaminated, so you gotta be careful with the mask. So what I'm doing is when I'm done, I take off the mask, which is reusable. It's a the TheraMask. I
Yeah.
put it on the chair, and then I zap it with the UV. So it's actually sterile almost each time that I'm seeing the patient.
Well, that's nice. You leave it in the room. So, like the surface, remember everybody, when you're using these masks, they need to be taken off and put face down and assume that this whole thing is contaminated. So, it needs a disinfecting wipe. You need to only touch it back here. And then it's a great idea to leave it in the room. So talk about the UVC device. So that one, I bought one. Thanks for the recommendation. It was around $400 or so. And I think that they're going fast, but there's a few companies on Amazon and everywhere, but who knows when you'll get it is the problem. It takes a while for these things to ship right now.
So
So.
they're all across price ranges. I mean, you can get the handheld ones. I don't believe that those are going to be any good because I have one that I got before COVID for the phone. And it takes 10 minutes front and back to sterilize my phone. I don't see how you're going to go with a handheld for more than, a couple minutes. So we bought one. It's 80 watts. Sounds like the one you bought. And it could do about a 150 square foot room in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Now they have some. I just saw one yesterday. It was 30,000, and it had probably, we have two of these lights. It probably had 12 of them,
Wow.
and it could do a room. It's all related to power, so it could do a room very quickly. It's what they use in hospitals. So,
Yeah.
and there's a lot of variation between. You can go from 400 to 4,000 to 30,000. But we know for sure that UVC really does work well. What it does is it damages the genetic material so that the bacteria, fungus, or virus can't replicate. And so it's really good.
Yeah, I think it's so smart because that way we have one room that's ready and processed, and the next room is being sterilized, and then you can go back and forth, or you can get two units. And the big expensive ones are definitely for operating suites and people, like you said, hospitals. So then the patient leaves the room, let's say, and at checkout, anything special, like trying to do contactless checkout or putting your iPad in a, you know, Ziploc?
So one of the big things is we have these plexiglass screens. It used to just be a counter. And those plexiglass screens are about $200, and they have a little opening like the bank would.
Yeah.
And you can exchange like products or something through that. We aren't doing touchless. One thing that Jason Bloom did, which was interesting, is he gave each patient one of those pens with his name on it that had a little rubber nubbin on the end that you could use for signing purposes. Yeah. You take it with you. And, you know, some people will plug in the numbers, but unfortunately, they usually cost you more money, a certain fraction of a percent more because, quote, your card wasn't present. And so there's a little higher risk.
Right.
So some people are doing that. I'd love to have a technology. I haven't gotten that yet where, like in Europe, where you just tap it. But I don't think it's available in the States or not widely available, but I think I'm going to do that.
With a chip reader too?
Yeah.
It's difficult because the percentage on your checkout, the rate goes up if the chip reader is not used. So, but we might have to sacrifice that. We're go ahead of time getting their phone number put into the computer system and their credit card number memorized so that we can just ask them to have it on hold for use, is good.
Yeah. Yes. Our system, once that person has used it, we can't see that number, but it is stored in our system. And so they say, you want to use a credit card on file? Yes. So that eliminates them presenting the card.
And you still need to have a signature on the iPad because we have had instances where there is claim of fraud because no signature was present. So we are just going to have probably disposable bags that we stick the iPads in and maybe some alcohol swabs where people can self-wipe so that they, you know, keep it clean, something like that. And trying to minimize checkout, like keep in mind that people that are going to pull out their BD points and their Aspire points and sit and like go through their 10 different emails, we're not allowing that. Like you have to have it ready to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a 6-foot little line like they do at supermarkets. So we don't have a congestion at the checkout. And we're trying to not have our staff as much congested there, spread out a little bit.
Will you talk a little bit about laser treatments and laser smoke plumes and what you're doing for that?
So I think that's, you know, even beyond COVID, smoke plumes have been shown to cause long-term effects over time. So our laser hair removal particularly is a problem, but we have a laser that actually has a vacuum like integrated. So there's very little plume, but we're also, and we have used to and still are using N95 masks in the rooms for that. We have a exhaust system in the ceiling, but I think it's really important to get rid of the laser plume, particularly in laser hair removal. And when you do the carbon laser peel, have you done that where you put a little carbon on and you zap off the carbon?
Yeah.
I think that probably contains some genetic material too that you don't want to inhale.
Yeah. How about people who are out there being asked to do laser hair removal, concerns about that?
Oh, no. No, I have no.
Just wearing an N95 should be adequate. And if you have a smoke evacuator, you should definitely use it. I've debated about whether we should have increased ventilation in the rooms and maybe leave doors open versus closing the door and keeping us in here. But probably we'll end up closing the doors for privacy.
Yeah, I think so. The only problems that we have are when you're doing the laser, again, in the areas where the mask might be, if you're doing like laser resurfacing or something, or that around the nose. And then I pull out my IT filter and we do okay with that. Again, that can filter out the plume as well. This is actually like an N99 mask.
So. Yeah, it is. How often are you having to change out your N95 masks that you're wearing?
So we have that Theramask. So Jason has done studies on that, and he says that you can do up to 100 washes. The company says 30. So we're not changing them out. They're very comfortable. Copper infused helps with the virus. So N95s are very difficult to get anyways.
Yeah.
And they become expensive. This is about $30 plus shipping and tax.
And then was that on back order? Or is that pretty accessible to
No. Okay. It's very accessible. We purchased 500 a week ago.
Wow.
And Jason says that the Department of government is ordering them like crazy.
Wow.
So they're really proven.
And do you wear that with a regular N95, putting that under, no. Or just does that by itself?
That and the shield that I showed you.
Yeah. Someone's asking if we're doing antibody testing prior to visits. What are we doing with that antibody testing?
So up until this point, there's been a lot of companies sort of trying to sell you antibody testing. They all got in because the FDA kind of had this emergency act and kind of let everyone in without really doing any thorough evaluations. So what has happened is that these tests aren't that accurate. There's like some of them are 30% false negatives. I wanted to jump on the bandwagon, but I haven't. Now I'm very gun shy. But now there are actually some coming out that are FDA approved. The problem with that is that there's a back order and they can't produce enough.
They don't even answer the emails. If you guys want to, you go on the FDA website. They have a link. There's 14 companies authorized, but only 3 are FDA approved. And friends who've ordered them, they've opened the package insert, tested, and said, oh, okay, I'm negative. And then they've read the package insert, and it says, in a study looking at 3 patients, we found all 3. Like, the N was 3. And wow. She was so like, oh, you're the 4th. So, like, that's, I think that there's so much room for just fraud and just, like, you know, it would be worse to not catch a positive case, I think. So we're better off treating everybody like they have COVID, the same way we treat all blood products like they have HIV. We just got to learn to get over the fear.
I think that, you brought up a point. You do a test, and first off, to legally do a test, I'm pretty sure you need a CLIA clearance, CLIA clearance, which means that you're doing actually laboratory studies.
Your office, yeah. Yes. You have to be CLIA certified.
That's it. So then you do this test and you're not sure if it's accuracy, but you tell someone and then, they go on to do something related to that test and you're responsible for that test now. And these tests aren't that accurate. Now, I understand if you're doing surgery and this person is under anesthesia for a few hours, then you probably want to know. So that what my colleagues are doing are they're doing the swab test in the nose and they're waiting for 2 negatives. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, and that person really has to isolate. Okay. After that last test, before they get surgery, because you're only as good as that test.
Yeah.
You can get something after that test that no one would know.
That swab test will really only pick up particles of virus that are present in your respiratory tract when you have an active infection. So it really kind of misses that asymptomatic period in some patients who are not yet shedding viral particles, but you're infected. And the other problem with the antibody serology tests is just sending people into the lab. It's not a big problem right now. I think the COVID testing is still all covered by all insurance companies. So you can write a prescription and send them for IgG and IgM antibody serology testing to rule out COVID antibodies. And it'll take a few days to come back, but it'll definitively show you if they've had a previous infection or a remote infection. But Again, that maybe is like interesting to know if you're protected or you've been exposed, or if your staff has all been tested and not been exposed. You have to be so diligent. But I don't know. As far as surgical patients, I would definitely test them with those serologies to know, as well as swabbing and isolation, I think. So it's premature still. Yeah. I mean, I think we're all at the point where we just want to get the infection and get the antibodies. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Like, just it's
I don't
like
know.
chicken pox. It needs to be like when your mom said, go play with that girl, she had chicken pox, maybe you'll get it. Except that it's a little deadly. But
The people that have had it, that really have had it, but they say it's the worst thing they've ever had. I mean,
yeah,
even if
actually,
they don't go to the hospital,
yeah.
they and it's like 2 weeks, fever, headache, coughing.
It's quite bad. Yeah, Roy Kim had it, and I did a live and chatted with him as well as one of
Wow.
the doctors in London that I spoke to. They
Right.
both like lost 20 pounds, said they felt like an elephant was sitting on their chest the whole time. But those are the outliers. There's also the Navy that had 600 sailors on a boat that all had it, and were all like, had no symptoms. So
Yeah.
it's interesting. I think we'll find out more. Well, with your first week under your belt, are there things you're going to do differently for your second week, or things you think went great?
I think that we did a lot of planning and things went well. We're gonna see a few more patients, and that's about it. We didn't start off with esthetician services because they didn't allow sort of spa-like procedures. They now allow it, but we haven't got the protocols down to a point that I'm happy with yet.
Yeah.
If you're getting a spa service, you probably don't want this.
It doesn't look relaxing at all.
No, and
And
grant you,
maybe
I'm
no
a
steaming, actually. You can't really use steam because of the aerosols.
You know that's a great point. The other thing that's a good point, and I hate it, but the Zimmer, the chiller,
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing anymore.
You're right. You're right. Yeah.
I mean, I have at least two or three of those in my office that we used almost daily, and we're kind of hemming and hawing of whether we should be using it. So I'm probably not.
I'm not gonna do ice rollers anymore. If we do a Ziploc device, it'll be like, single-use Ziploc bags. And then I want to be so careful at checkout because people always go up there with their bloody gauze that they're still leaking from their lip. And so I'm really leaving patients in the room till there's no visible, like they got to run in LA, they got to run to their next appointment. But we're going to say sit until there's no bleeding.
Well, let me ask you this, because typically bloodborne stuff is an issue. Is that a COVID issue? I mean,
I
can we
mean, maybe
can
intermingled with saliva, like for
yeah.
lips. Yeah, for sure. And just maybe from sweat from the skin. I don't know if we know actually, but probably not bloodborne.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think, but just think about dentists and their drilling and the aerosols. And I mean, it's going to change their business.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm a little hesitant to dive right into lip injections. I kind of probably want to be the second wave of injectors doing that and see how it's going with the first wave. It would be awesome if our colleagues in Wuhan and Italy would like tell us, send us some messages about how they've been doing things. But
Right.
from doing some Zoom meetings with nasal surgeons, they're ultra conservative, and in surgery, the entire patient is draped in plastic, and like literally your hands are going into a plastic bag situation. So I think the spread through the nose and the mouth needs to be super, super cautious and careful. So those
Right.
are the things that we have to kind of figure out. I love your filter idea. It's awesome.
I'm glad you're on the same page as me, because there's a group, not necessarily a specialist, but of providers that are really taking a lackadaisical approach to this. And patients are going, you know what? Well, they're not doing it. Why are you doing it? I said, well, there's two reasons. One is that they don't know what what the precautions should be, or number two, they can't afford it.
Yeah. It's going to cost real money to do this better and do it the best possible, you know, least infective way for all of us. But that's so important. Now more than ever, patients need to not go to cost-cutting places that are out there like pushing treatments for to the masses at cheap prices. They need to invest in quality injectors who are going to do these important quality measures to for their safety. So I hope we change the message on social media a little bit. Like when you guys open out there, please don't make it about like $7 a unit Botox and $300 syringes, because that's going to kill us all. And it's going to actually literally kill people, because those clinics are not going to do things with this level of attention and detail to infection control.
No, I mean, I've probably spent $30,000 to $40,000 on equipment. To upgrade the facility, because the number one important thing in my practice and in great practitioners' practice is safety. Okay.
Yes. If
you are going to feel safe in our office, safer than anywhere that you venture outside your home. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. And for injectors out there who are being asked to come to work and they're not sure if their spa has all the right requirements, what would you say is the bare minimum? Like, well, to protect yourself, like, you know.
Well, I think that masks and shields for the providers, masks for the patients, and not and they have to be the right masks. They have to be the N95s or better. Obviously super hand cleaning before and after patients, for the patient too, clean the rooms. UV light, you know, that's debatable. It's not that expensive. Here's one other point that we do. And all of our staff and I come in street clothes. We change our office into scrubs. Every day, the scrubs are taken off, washed, and we go out in our street clothes. We keep shoes that we use in the office. Mm-hmm. So, you know, soap kills the COVID pretty well. I mean, very well. So I'm not doing gowns or drapes on each patient. First off, that would be a huge use of the PPEs. And we can't even get disposable gowns right now.
We can't.
So
I don't think it's necessary. It's not a very bloody procedure, but yeah, I agree that our clothes and come in contact with the patients, and we're going to be close, like at arm's length. So yeah, definitely. If you don't change at the office, for sure, it's the minute you get home before you sit on the sofa or anything, you need to strip down, shower. And I'm having our staff also hair tied up, fingernails short, you know, minimizing jewelry and fomites, like rings and watches and things. And just like everyone needs to just kind of get home and decontaminate every day.
Yep.
But we've been working, coming to the office this whole quarantine. So the last 60 days, even though we're doing more virtual visits, but I think just getting out of the house and getting back in the mode, you start to realize that we can survive this. We can do this. We're going to be fine. You know, as long as we protect ourselves and we don't get lax. Because I don't know, did you find in your office that your staff was starting to get like a little too chummy, back to old standards of gathering close to each other?
Yeah, but at some point you got to kind of trust your inner circle.
You do. It becomes your quarantine work family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The same way you don't have to worry about your home family because you've been around them, the work family too.
What they have to realize is that what happens outside the facility affects the inside. So they really have to, you know, monitor 24/7, not just.
They do. You have to spend some time and educate your staff that this is not the time to have backyard, you know, apartment parties or get togethers, or like our younger staff wants to go out and do stuff. It's time to still stay isolated when you get home with just your core relatives. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that too here. But
okay.
Are you taking about 30 minutes per patient roughly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here. So that seems to be good. Well, all your advice has been so amazing. For those of you guys who want to get the UVC sterilizer, it was on the website Mr. Sterilizer. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yes. And I think Steve has a discount code if you type Weiner. How do you say your last name?
Oh, 05.
Winer 05, yeah. All capitals. Yeah, so go to Mr. Sterilizer and order, but also maybe phone and find out how soon that stuff is coming, because some of the masks and things I ordered at the beginning of quarantine are showing up now.
Wow.
So, yeah. And also the respirator, if you didn't get the website for that, was, say that one more time.
A-MSystems.com. That's not my, I don't make anything. It's just,
I think they should have given you an affiliate code.
I know they should have, but they didn't.
They didn't. The discount code for Mr. Sterilizer was Weiner05, all capitals, his last name. And then the other one was a-msystems.com for the mouth respirator piece.
Right.
And we'll keep you updated if you think of anything else amazing we should be doing. You're so knowledgeable. You're one of the gurus in our field. So I really appreciate you coming on with me. One day we'll have you back in LA. Come to visit for my Mastery of Aesthetics course.
Perfect.
As well.
Thanks
so much. Yeah. Love you. Stay healthy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, guys.